Tonight we begin by looking at the love languages. There are five basic love languages that we speak love by. Some of the times we don't recognize those five love languages, so we not only do not know how to speak, we do not know how to interpret someone else speaking love to us. So as we begin looking at these love languages, we're going to look at these to, in the next few lessons, to consider simply how to say I love you to the individuals that we love. As we do this and give this consideration, we must each speak the same love language or at least understand the love language for there to be love communicated. Our failure to... It is going to rain. Our failure to communicate love leaves us feeling empty. Now, we're looking at five love languages, but we looked at 10 emotional needs. In actuality, these five love languages are very closely tied to our emotional needs and will help us to fill those 10 emotional needs. And so these love languages become very important to us just as much as the emotional needs were important to us. In this particular thing, as we consider these love languages, we're going to look at them as they are outlined in a book by Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. You might want to pick up that book and look at it. If you do, you'll find that I have some of this ideas in the lesson tonight, and you'll also find out I've got a lot of things in the lesson that wasn't in his book too, so it goes both ways. However, I believe it's worthy to give note of the fact that he originally developed the idea of speaking love languages, and it is a concept that's real. It's real, interestingly enough, not because he devised the concept, but because the biblical base of the concept. Not necessarily one which he always attached to it. Now, the love language are not only spoken between husband and wife. It would be simple if that's all we dealt with. But actually, the love languages that we're going to talk about are the same languages that we speak to our children and our children learn to speak back to us with. The sad thing is that as we look at these love languages, some children are never taught how to say, I love you. Now, my family, basically, and I don't know, I'm going to use some terms here, and I'm not being derogatory. You just understand I'm using them the way I was taught them. My family was not a huggy family. And, some families are very huggy. They show the, and that's fine. That's good. That is one love language, one way to show or demonstrate love. But there are other ways that also equally demonstrate love. Now, in that I use that term, do not take that as being a derogatory term. I believe one of the greatest things that is missing in our homes today is the demonstration of love by touching our children, by spending time with our children and hugging our children. And that's one thing that is missing in the American home. We've actually taken the mothers and the fathers out of the home, and we've gotten them so busy in the things of the world that they do not take the time to hug and touch and be with their children enough to teach them that they love them in this particular way. So these love languages all teach the children and express love to the children and become the expression of love back from children. Now, because these languages aren't spoken in the homes, a lot of times what happens, the children are raised without learning to express love to their parents or anyone else. So ultimately what you have when this occurs is you have people coming into adulthood and they will find someone that they love, but they don't know how to tell them that. And so what happens in marriage is people get married because of what we talked about this morning, they fell in love, but because they don't know how to speak the love languages beyond falling in love, they don't know how to mature or grow and develop in the marital relationship. And it's sad as that passes from one generation into the next generation, it will always affect children. Children will be raised and children will have difficulty speaking the love because they will not know the love languages. Now, the one we're going to spend our time with this evening is the words of affirmation. Words of affirmation are very simple. They're very simple words. We're going to look at, first of all, how they are taught in the Bible. We're going to look at the types of words of affirmation. And then we're going to go actually in the Bible and bring some demonstrations in the Bible where some of the Bible authors and Christ himself used words of affirmation. This speaking love and words of affirmation is a very biblical concept. It was practiced frequently in the Bible. So we'll be able to look at that this evening and see that aspect of it. The Bible begins with the tongue by teaching us to control the tongue. There certainly is a value in controlling the tongue, and it certainly is a practice that one has to work at, and I guess no one ever masters. If you find an individual that masters speaking the tongue, they tell about it, I'll show you an individual that has trouble with pride. Because the Bible teaches us that the aspect of controlling the tongue is a very difficult thing to do. Here in the book of Job 6, verse 24, it says, "Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I've erred." You might pick up on the Old Testament parallelism. He said the same thing in two different words, but it has the same meaning. Before someone will hold the tongue, control the tongue, they have to be taught. There must be teaching for there to be control. In the second part of it, one has to come to an understanding before he can correct the error. And so, here in two ways, he has said to us and showed us the difficulty of controlling the tongue. We need to come to an understanding, and we have to come to an understanding and implement that into speaking the proper things with our tongues. Now, learning this and coming to a recognition of it is one thing. The application of it is an entirely different thing. Matter of fact is, it's like many of the love languages that we're going to talk about. We can come to understand them, that's fine, but it's the application, it's the day-by-day living of them that becomes so very important. And these languages, while they are not difficult, they take work. It takes development, it takes practice to use these languages. You know, it might be the case like that we were speaking about at the introduction of this particular series, if we needed to speak Telugu for Hindi. Well, it'd take me a long time to learn Telugu. I mean, you'd have to learn a whole new alphabet, and you'd have to learn a whole new lettering system because it's entirely different than what we have. So it would take a lot of hard work. It would take practice and practice and practice. Well, let me tell you, speaking the love languages and being fluent in them takes a lot of practice. And if we fail to use these languages, we become inept at use of them, so we have to practice and we have to be consistent in the use of them. And so, as we look at these love languages, let's recognize that we have to come to usage of them. Psalm 34, verse 14, the psalmist said, "Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it." And that's what we're talking about. These love languages are leaving things that we have talked, the ways that we have done things, and coming to express our love in a better way. And so we have to leave the old ways that we have. We have to come to the new ways. And then we have to pursue after these ways to implement them in our homes. Again, as we look at these things in the Bible, we need to recognize that there is a great value in the tongue. A great value in using the tongue. So many times when we talk about the tongue in the Bible, we run to James, the third chapter, and we talk about the negatives. And we're going to do that in a minute, so I'll just pre-warn you. But look at the positives of the tongue. It is the tongue that encourages. It is the tongue that exhorts. It is the tongue that can strengthen. And inside the body of Christ, it is the tongue that will help us to encourage and strengthen and build one another up in doing the things that God wants us to do. Proverbs 10, verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Thought about bringing a silver coin up here this evening And it probably would have illustrated this so aptly. You take a silver coin and you lay it beside the plug out of electric box. You know, the metal electric boxes. I think they're going away from those now, but that's what we used to compare them to. You know, the plug out of the electric box is not worth anything. Little value. But the silver coin can be of great value. Matter of fact is, the silver coin can be of value when a country's currency is totally devalued. The silver coin can still hold its value. Well, when we look at the tongue, when it's just, when it's righteous, when it's doing the things God wants it to do, it is as choice silver. And what we have to see inside our marriages, that when the tongue's used inside our relationship and our marriages, it has a great value. It benefits, it will, well, we've talked about it and we still haven't had a lesson on it, but it starts filling the love bank up. Now you take the evil tongue, it can turn and it can drain the love bank. But the choice silver tongue, it can fill the love bank. So there's a difference between using the tongue for evil and using the tongue for righteousness. Now, as we compare that, let's realize we don't have the right to say everything we might want to say. As brethren, we don't have the right to say everything we might want to say to each other. And in the marriage, I do not have the right to say everything that might pop in my mind that I might want to say. I don't know where or when or how, but somewhere I think we have determined that inside marriages we need to just turn loose on whatever we want to say, whatever, whenever we want to say it. That's not true. I have had Christian men come to me and indicate that they had the right to say to their wives whatever they wanted to say to their wives because their wives, well, quite frankly, were their slaves. I'd encourage those individuals to go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and start at verse 20 and not key on verse 25 till you get verse 20 taken care of. Because verse 20 says, submitting yourselves to one another in the Lord. And so here again you see this aspect. So in marriage we have to be sure that we get these aspects right. Now in James 3 verse 2, James talked about it. He said, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Even when we practice it, even when we work at using the tongue, even when we have a great desire to use it properly, you know what we're going to do? We're still going to let it slip. There's still going to be times that the tongue doesn't do exactly what we know it should do. And so when that takes place, we do bring offense. Now, then verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So this shows us the necessity of continually having to work with the tongue. And in the marriage, we have to continually work with it. Sometimes inside the marriage, it is determined that what goes on behind closed doors, what goes on inside the seal walls, will not make a difference. And yet that's where the major difference is in what we say. Okay. So we have the old tongue and we've got a great, great value. Its value is like silver. And brethren inside the church, its value is like silver. A wise man said, Proverbs 18 verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. My friend, the tongue can do different things. It can kill you, but it can make you alive. Now, you can use the tongue for different things. You can use the tongue to put someone to death, or you can use it to bring the joy and happiness of life to someone. That's the nature of the tongue. So one has to determine if they want to kill with the tongue or if they want to bring alive with the tongue. They have to determine what their use of the tongue is going to be. And sometimes, I'm afraid, that we use the tongue to bring death when we ought to be using the tongue to bring life. Sometimes we use the tongue for the purpose of bringing life, but we're bringing death with it instead of life because of the nature of our use of the tongue. Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Watch him. But the good word maketh it glad. Have you ever had something just so troubling you, it just seemed like that all the pressure of life was on you and it just pushing you down, you couldn't straighten up? That's the heaviness of the heart. Do you see what pulls an individual out of that? But a good word maketh it glad. That's the old silver tongue. That's the value of it. You know, I'll tell you in the vision of having been a preacher. There have been a few times that one or two good words is the only thing that pulled me out of the despair of never preaching again. And I can think of the one or two individuals that said, though they didn't know it. They don't know to this day that they said the good words that made the difference. Do you realize that with our children sometimes it's just the one or two good words that makes the whole difference in the child for the lifetime? One time I was with a parent, and his basic phrase to his child, his son in this particular case, was this. He said it several times while I was with him. Can't you do anything right? About the fourth time, I'd have liked to have taken him around the building. If he had just turned around to the boy and said, here, let me help you with it. We'll do it together. You know what? He would have made a lot more positive direction by that demonstration of love. He can kill or he can make alive. And so we can kill or make alive by the things that we say. And we need to give some consideration. Now, words of affirmation, they're little words, little statements. There's nothing difficult in talking about these things because they're very simple. Sometimes a word of affirmation is a single word. You want me to give you a word of affirmation and not say anything? And basically, you understand that. That means, yes, good job, great. And so these things are very simple words of affirmation. They're usually a single statement. They're usually straightforward. They're usually positive. Now notice this. They're positive statements which denote goodness. Goodness is the internal qualities of a person. These are statements that you turn and you look at the person and say, these are good qualities that you have. Secondly, it's righteousness. These are the actions of the individual. Words of affirmation will be words that complement the good actions that the individual does. The generosity. These are words of affirmation that deal with the compassion, the benevolence of the individual, the willingness of the individual to give, or of sacrifice. You look at the individual and you see them sacrificing to help see recognize that sacrifice. That's a word of affirmation. So words of affirmation address these things. Now, there's just two rules. for words of affirmation. Very simple ones. Number one, they have to be true. In other words, don't try to flatter someone by saying something to them that's not true. Flattery is destructive. Secondly, the word of affirmation, besides being true, the speaker has to mean what he is saying or what she is saying. And these two conditions being met and addressing those things that are listed in the point above, then you have a word of affirmation. Now, again, these are very simple. Let's look at some examples here. Keep up the good work. What individual does not like to hear that when they've worked hard, it's been a long day, and the day has been of any value or not, and someone comes along and says, I appreciate your work. Keep it up. I think you can see why some people say words of affirmation are equal to paychecks when appropriately placed. You're doing great. You have improved so much. You know, maybe it's somebody that hasn't got it all together. It's not all just right yet, but you know, they've come a long way. Maybe you can't say, boy, you're really doing great. But can you say you've improved? You've grown? You've matured? You've come a long way? Well, somebody turns to you and say, you've given so much. And so again, these are very short, but they're words of affirmation. These are words that it just takes a minute to say, and it encourages and strengthens us all. A matter of fact is, I don't know how, and I guess this is telling them myself. I guess that's one of my love languages I like to hear. My wife does a very good job with it, much better than I do with it. But I don't know how you would make it through life without anybody's words of affirmation, if there just simply were none. Be rough. Okay, so these words, again, note the good quality directly to the mate. They can include statements about dress. You know, it doesn't have to be about something deathly seriously. It can be simply, you look nice in that dress. It can be about their actions. You know, I'm so glad that you did that. It can be about their attitude. You know, your smile just puts daylight in my life. It can be about their character. And so you can address these things in a lot of ways. And look in the home is just full of things that you can give statements of affirmation about. And those things are present there if you look for them. You know, the biggest deterrent to words of affirmation is getting our thoughts only on the things that we perceive that are wrong, and failing to see the things that are good and wholesome and right. You know, these words stimulate individuals to do what's right. Words of affirmation do that. They exhort the individual to do the things that they already know they should do. Matter of fact is, these are words that are expressed to an individual not to get them to do what you want them to do. That's not the purpose of words of affirmation. But they're stated to an individual to encourage them and fulfill their striving to do what they already know they should do or what they already want to do. That's the encouragement of it. Now, also as we look at this aspect, we need to recognize that to be a good encourager, you've got to have empathy. You've got to feel for your mate. If you don't have feelings for your mate, you're not going to be a good encourager. Someone says, well, he or she, they don't have much empathy. One way to develop empathy is to have empathy. One way to care for the other one's feelings is to develop a care for their feelings. And then we recognize that one has to be concerned about their mate's desires, and one must be concerned about their mate's perspective. If I'm going to be a good encourager, I have to know my mate. If I'm a good encourager, I have to know what my mate desires. I have to know what my mate's outlook is. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, very simple statement. Love is kind. And that's what words of affirmation are about. This word kind means benevolent. It means it works for the benefits of others. Kindness can be expressed in a lot of different words, in a lot of different ways. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up angers. Elaine has reminded me, and probably more often than I'd like to admit, it's not what you said, it's the way that you said it. I'm still trying to learn. You know, we can say so much by our tone, by our body language. Matter of fact is, you can say the right thing and have a completely different meaning. And so as we look at these words of affirmation, we need to be careful and still learn the things that and say the things that we need to say in a loving and kind way. Kind words need to take a part in our life. Now, you're going to have to listen real closely on this next one. Your words will either be words of justice or words of forgiveness. Generally be one of the two. You see, an individual that speaks out and he wants justice is an individual that's harsh, an individual that demands that there be judgment. An individual that speaks forgiveness is an individual that leaves openness for growth and development and change. Sometimes we can speak the words of justice, and the words of justice will be true. And sometimes the words of justice are needed. The words of justice properly spoken might move one from where they shouldn't be to where they should be. But if we always speak in words of justice and we don't ever speak in words of forgiveness, then we close the door to a great growing area that can occur inside the marriage. And so here as we look at this, we need to recognize that if we can be forgiving in our statement, it will build room for us to grow in loving one another. But if we always speak in words of justice and judgment, it doesn't leave any room. Notice the statement. Forgiveness is not a feeling. I think that's one thing that we need to come to grasp. Forgiveness is not something that we feel. Forgiveness is something that we commit to. Forgiveness is something that takes dedication and work and labor. And if we have the expression of forgiveness in the things that we say, it leaves room for the growing to that commitment and to have that development, to have that growing, loving relationship with the other individual. Where on the other hand, if our statements are statements of judgment or statements of condemnation, it leaves no room to grow. No room for love. I believe the statement is very worth our looking at. Recognizing that forgiveness is a commitment. And we look at humble words. You know, lovers love and make requests of each other. People that love each other, to allow room for love, they don't make demands of each other. Instead of making demands, they come to one another and they make requests of each other. Tyrants make demands. Lovers make requests. And when we have the humility that we need to have, we will learn to move from making the demands, which would only mean that we consider our mate to be slaves. We would move to being lovers and making the request. Now then, every married couple has within it either tyrants or lovers. It might have within it a tyrant and a lover. A very unhappy situation for someone. But our goal is to look at the way that we talk to one another and strive to become the individuals that in humility speak to one another in love. You know, these words of affirmation are spoken by one's mate to another's person. Let me describe this. You know, again, we're telling how to love one another and grow from it. Tell someone else what you feel about your mate when it's positive. Now, you find something you like about your wife and you want to put money in the love bank? Go tell your mother-in-law how much you appreciate your wife. Or don't do it in the presence of your wife. You think she's ever going to hear about it? Oh, yeah. When mama gets back, she's going to say, "Do you know what he said about you? You know what you just did? You made a great big deposit in your love bank by telling the positive things about your wife to your mother-in-law." Let your mother-in-law bring it back to your wife. When you talk to your friends, what do you talk about your mate? Tell your friends, the going thing, you don't sit around the table and they tell everything that's wrong about their mate. You know, the women go out together and tell everything's wrong about the men go out together and somewhere in the conversation comes up, everything's wrong. Call your friends. Just tell the good things about your mate. Don't tell the bad things. See what happens. You know, it won't be long till fellas, those men that you go out with and you're always complimenting your wife and first thing they're going to do is start complaining. Well, he only says good things, but well, that's all right. They'll get over that. And then they're going to go home and complain about it. You know what's going to happen then? Those wives from their home, they're going to run to the wife that's been complimented, and they're going to say, "Well, your husband only says good things about you. You know what happened to your love bank? Did it get withdrawals or did it get deposits that day?" Do the same thing the other way around. Words of affirmation. Doesn't have to be big words. Doesn't have to be about great things. It can just be about the little things of life. When you and your friends are together or the family's together and conversation is going on, what do you say about your spouse? Make those the positive statements, the good statements, and see what happens. Jesus to the five-talent man. Just got a minute left. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many things." Matthew 5, verse 21. You know what Jesus did? He gave him a word of affirmation. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the brethren at Philippi, Philippians 4, verse 14, "Notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction." He gave him a compliment. He gave him a word of affirmation. They did well in helping him. To the brethren at Thessalonica, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved of your election of God." Look at the positives. He said to the brethren there, said, "We know your work. It's a work of faith. We know your labor of love." You know, for Christians today, it would do us well if we would use words of affirmation. It is a word of affirmation to encourage the elders and the deacons in the work that they do. It is words of affirmation, an expression of Christian love, to take the time to write the missionaries. and encourage them in the work that they do. It is an expression of Christian love to affirm the Christians that serve and supply the needs of others. See, there's a love language in affirmation. A love language that is a Christian affirmation. And it is a language that some people understand, and I think the more it's used, the more the people will understand this language. Now, over the years, as I mentioned earlier, I had heard words of affirmation that have encouraged me in a variety of ways. You know, some congregations just have individuals that way of expressing themselves where it comes out is positive words of affirmation. To those people, thank you. That's people that understand what this particular language of love is about. And I guess an individual that stood in this pulpit and done more of that than anyone else I know over the years, whether he talked about the flowers, the janitorial work that needed to be done, something that was fixed on the building or the parking lot, the work of the elders had done, Mr. Ron Brown spoke well the words of affirmation. Expressing as a Christian his love for the people that he came in contact with inside this family. Ron. And there are others that have done this. I just pick him out because he was the most public one that had stood up in front and done this thing over and over again. But may we as people inside our homes learn to recognize the things that are good, the work that is done right, the qualities of our mate, the actions and the character that's involved, and may we turn to use the language of the words of affirmation appropriately. This evening, if you're not a New Testament Christian or if you've erred and sinned in your life and need to make those corrections with God, we encourage you to respond to His invitation as we stand and as we sing.